Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible is relevant to your life every day. And we're glad you joined us here for the conversation as we explore the Old Testament book of Malachi and learn about the dangers of questioning God. Let's hear what Kurt has to say.
And welcome back, my friends, to today's episode of Everyday Truth. In the book of Malachi, in a series of podcasts that we're calling Questioning God. And John, we've already talked about a couple ways by which the people in that day were questioning God. They were questioning his love. And then they were really questioning his assessment of their offerings. God said, you're not respecting me. You're not honoring me. And they said, what are you talking about?
Yeah, it is hard to believe that here God, who knows everything, tells them what their problem is, and they doubt if he's telling the truth.
Right. So that, to me, that speaks to the authenticity of the relationship.
Oh, for sure it does.
So God zeroes in really on the first aspect of this burden of the word of the Lord. He comes right at the leadership first. Don't you find that ironic?
You know, it is interesting that God does that, showing them that their leadership does have issues, because if they have issues, you're going to be for sure that other people in the general population does. It reminds me of Jesus cleansing the temple. When Jesus cleansed the temple in John chapter 2, it evidenced that Israel as a group was not right with God. The leadership was allowing things to go on.
Right. So be not many masters, James told us in James 3. Knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation or the increased level of accountability. So God always holds his leaders to a higher level of accountability, doesn't he?
He certainly does.
So I would just say to you, my friends, because many of you listening lead in some capacity, even you know, being a mom, being a dad, leading a Sunday school class, even the leadership that we would say would be the leadership of influence. Because some of you are teenagers and you have a level of influence among your peers that God has allowed in your life. Well, listen, you'll be accountable for even that.
I think the Bible principle that unto whom much is given, much is required. And as God gives opportunities to have more influence, we are accountable for what we do with that influence.
No, that's a really good point. And certainly that's true. So here in Malachi chapter 1, God is dealing with these priests who, in a couple ways. Number one, what you're doing is dishonoring to me, but really it's reflective of your attitude toward me. And that's the issue here. Your attitude toward me is dismissive. You've made serving me a contemptible thing. We promised yesterday that we would jump back into how the Lord was unpacking this. He says in verse 8, and if you offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? If you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee or accept thy person, saith the Lord of hosts? So offering the blind, offering the lame in sacrifice, what would that be?
You know, back in the Old Testament time, they were supposed to have a lamb that was free from any blemish. That lamb was a great picture of the Lamb of God who would come someday. And whenever they offered a lamb that had, you know, blemishes, that had difficulties, was not a perfect lamb, then it was doing a great injustice to the picture that it was supposed to have toward the lamb that would come sometime.
Yeah, and to me, that's the issue, because the sacrificial system was a system that was a type of, a picture of the coming Lamb of God that would take away the sin of the world. So to offer a blemished sacrifice was to mar the image of Christ himself. And then I think to go beyond that is to say God expects our best. He expects our best. So logically, if I'm going to offer a lamb to sacrifice on the altar, logically, I would say, well, why would I offer my best lamb? I mean, this one's blind. This one's lame. Can't walk anyway. It's not going to grow effectively. So why not just offer that one? God will understand.
Yeah, they were able to rationalize in their mind why it wasn't a problem to give God second best or third or fourth best. In our life, sometimes our flesh can convince us, hey, we don't need to worry about serving God today. You're too busy. You're busy at work. You know, just put off reading the Bible. And you keep on putting it off, and you just lose that vital relationship with God because God is not preeminent in life.
And it speaks to the issue that many times the mistreatment in our life is the mistreatment of those that love us the most, to whom we have the greatest responsibility. So we'll treat the stranger with courtesy and we'll be short and abrupt with our spouses. We'll be more than giving and gracious to somebody that's an acquaintance, but we'll be less than kind to that faithful church member with whom we serve. And the Lord is saying here, listen, I'm your primary relationship, you know, and you need to give me your best.
And I think of, you know, in our time today, in my life today, how that Christ is to be preeminent and how Christ has taught us we're to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And that is to be my priority, is loving God. And I love God by loving my brethren around me and being right with them and what I'm doing.
But don't you think, John, that sometimes the way that we salve our conscience is, but we are sacrificing, we're obeying, you know, we're checking the box. I was there. I gave, I did something. So they were offering the sacrifices, they were going through the motions, and all of that was causing them to think that they were serving God.
Yeah, it is so easy to get just ritualistic and not have any relationship and just to look at things we're doing. We check this off so that we can be spiritual. But the reality is if we are spiritual and have a vital relationship with God, we're going to have the right kind of actions toward God. I think Paul tells in Corinthians, God loves a cheerful giver, somebody who just delights to give because of who God is.
Too often we look at serving God quantitatively. Look at all the things that I'm doing. And what God is asking us to do here in the book of Malachi is look at your service to me qualitatively. Why are you doing this? Yeah, do you love me? Are you honoring me? Are you respecting me? Because your sacrifice is a reflection of that love, honor, and respect. So you pointed out just a moment ago that this is a type of the Lord Jesus. And so anytime we're trying to reflect the Lord Jesus, we ought to do that with excellence. But then the sacrifice was also a harbinger of the fact that you and I, as individual believers, offer ourselves as a living sacrifice to the Lord.
You know, Paul deals with that in Romans 12, 1 and 2, that he beseeches us to give ourselves to God. And that is why it is important in our life that we don't give God what is left over, but that we give God, you know, our great energy. We don't just read our Bibles, we're falling asleep and can't even understand what we're saying, but we give God what is the first fruits of our life.
And we're dealing with the blemishes.
Exactly. Right?
It's not that God is expecting us to have a certain performance in order to serve him, but the fact that by the aid of his Holy Spirit, through the lens of his word, we ought to be looking at ourselves, keeping short accounts with the Lord, making sure that as we're offering ourselves a living sacrifice, it's wholly acceptable unto God. We're doing so with the right attitude. All of that's important. You know, I'm reminded, John, of the verse in Hebrews chapter 4, where the Bible talks about all things are naked and open unto him with whom we have to do. The word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. You know, the priest in the Old Testament, when he would offer the sacrifice, would use a sharp sword, a sharp knife, and cut open that animal. So the blemish sometimes was on the outside of the animal, obvious, but what would that priest find if he would open the animal, and let's say that the animal was full of blemish on the inside, would that be an acceptable sacrifice?
A lamb had to be perfect in all aspects that, you know, internally and outwardly and inwardly, in order to be the right kind of, you know, sacrifice. If that lamb were opened up and it was just full of cancer and had all kinds of tumors, it wasn't a good picture of the one who was to come someday.
So the knife was the way by which the lamb could be inspected internally. And that's what the knife is to us. That's the word of God. It's the way by which God can show us ourselves internally, even the thoughts and intents of our heart. So God knows it all. He knows what I show you on the outside, but he also knows what nobody sees, and that's the inside. It's the word of God. So, boy, what a great New Testament application.
Yes, it certainly is. It reminds me of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. The Pharisees and scribes, particularly in Matthew 23, that Christ over and over again says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because they look so good on the outside, but internally they were completely wrong with God." And Christ exposes them for who they are. And today, Christ in our life, as we yield to him, Christ will show us where we have areas that need to be addressed and areas that need to be made right with him. God longs for us to walk in complete fellowship with him. And so as we are in the Word of God and God reveals those things to us, then we have to make sure we're yielding to the Word of God and allowing the Holy Spirit to conform us to Christ's image.
And the Lord gives us a very practical way to look at our respect for him. He said, okay, think about the person that you respect the most. So I'd ask you listeners to do that in your own mind. For them, it would be their governor. Okay, how do you treat him? Shouldn't you treat me that way? I mean, at least that way. And I would say to you, my listeners, who is the person in your life that you respect the most by your attitude and actions? Could be a spouse, could be a parent, could be a boss. But whoever that person is, does God not deserve at least that? That's a good lens, isn't it?
It certainly is, Pastor. And I think about the title that God even uses for himself in verse 8. He used the title Lord of Hosts. You know, that's not a title we find used in every book in the Old Testament. We find it concentrated in some of the books. We find it in the minor prophets a number of places. But Lord of Hosts emphasizes that God is the sovereign. He's the sovereign God over the armies of heaven, sovereign over everything. How could we have one, you know, standard that we're going to judge ourselves by a human governor and a totally inferior standard to judge ourselves by the king of all?
Excellent point. You know, God's the five-star general and we're the private, but you walk by him, you're going to salute. You're going to stand up straight. You're going to be at attention. And God says, don't I deserve that? I like what it says, I think, sarcastically in verse 9, where the Bible says, and now I pray you, beseech God that he'll be gracious unto us. This hath been by your means. Will he regard your persons, saith the Lord of hosts? In other words, God's not impressed by who you are and what you do, as if that's somehow going to buy you respect from God.
And God knows our hearts. He knows where we're at precisely.
Right. So the sarcastic comment is, you know, don't think that you have a pass just because of what your title is or the things that you've done. God's not impressed. He sees down deeper than that.
You know, so often in our lives, it is easy to be impressed by people and to try to impress people and to think that, you know, because maybe we are known by certain people that we ought to be treated in a certain way. But God is not a respecter of persons. God knows our heart where we're at, and God wants to have an authentic, sincere faith that just comes him humbly and submits to him very willingly.
So let's take those three words today, my friends, as our takeaway. Love. You know, are we loving God? He's loved us. In our good times and bad times, he's kept his promises. He reminds us, I love you. Are we loving him back? Is it reciprocal? And then God says, I'm your father. I'm your master. Are you honoring me? You know, are you respecting me? Are we? That would be a question. And a great practical way to demonstrate that is think of the person in your life whom you respect the most. How do you treat them? How do you honor them? Does God get at least that? Boy, these are piercing thoughts and piercing questions. And that's exactly what the book of Malachi is about. It's questions. Questioning God and God clarifying who he is and who we are. So I hope you'll stick with us. It's going to be a great series. We're just at the beginning of it right now. Appreciate each one of you. God bless you, my friends. Have a great day.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If everyday truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.